exaggerating.
I can fight it naturally.
No matter how you build your excuses, the flu can blow your house down. Keep your foundation strong. Vaccinate. Learn more at flu.gov.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
To the Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. He's Derek Gary and I'm Lisa Nichols, and we're here with you every Wednesday night. And as always, we want you to be a part of the show. You can do that by giving us a call at 617-627-3800. Now, are we doing Stump the Co-host this week?
Yeah, I was thinking
we're going to try to get a couple in?
I was thinking we might change the name of this, actually. You know what we're going to do? We're going to drop the migrant discussion. We're gonna kill that. We're gonna go straight from this because we're at 8 o'clock already here on WMFO Medford, and we want the weed conversation needs time to breathe, and this needs time to breathe. So,
how many have you got?
I get a few.
All right, I have. A few,
but I was thinking we might change the name of this to "Did you hear about?" Right?
I like that.
Because everybody walks around all day. They're like, "Hey, did you hear about?" And half the time I'm like, "No," because I don't read TMZ or the Huffington Post or crap.
Yeah.
It's like,
That's actually a new magazine. Crap.
Yeah. It's like, I walk up to people like, "Did you hear about North Korea?" And they're like, "Is that a thing?"
Actually, one of my first one to you was South Korea. But we already talked about it.
South Korea would be the annual military exercises that are taking place precisely to annoy North Korea.
Yeah.
That's why we do that.
So we're going to start. I'm going to start first.
Okay.
E-books.
E-books. This is a big story in the UK right now because it turns out that, as many of us know, you don't own an e-book. You just license it to your device. And I believe it is the Nook. Is it the Nook that's going out in the United Kingdom? Or is it the Kindle?
I have the bigger story that happened on Monday.
This was the story that happened on Monday.
There's another one.
Well, because one of those services is being shut down.
I know what you're talking about.
And everybody's losing their minds.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's Barnes & Noble. I think it's the Nook that they're shutting down and ending support for.
I think Barnes & Noble is the only one that has the Nook.
And so now they're saying, well, maybe we'll figure out a way so you can transfer your e-books. That's the only one that I heard this week.
Well, come to find out, Apple overcharged you for your ebooks in 2010. They, from the Supreme Court, decided $450 million they now had to pay out. So they refused, the Supreme Court justices refused to hear Apple's appeal on the ruling and said it conspired with five major publishers to illegally raise prices on ebooks in a challenge to Amazon's dominance in the marketplace.
Yes, it did. I mean, everybody knows they did that. So crazy. What are the lawyers going to argue? No, we didn't.
Really.
No, we didn't. No, we didn't.
That's been a big controversy that's been going on for years, and how Amazon, you know, certain publishers weren't releasing their books to them because they wanted control over it. They don't want Amazon going out and only charging $9 when, you know, the publisher gets 15 cents.
Yeah.
I'd give you a half of that because that is a big story involving ebooks.
That's a bigger story than the...
What?
You know how that $450 million is going to be paid out, right? $300 million goes to the lawyers that filed the class action suit. Everybody who signed up for the class action suit gets a free ebook.
Right.
That's what's going to happen.
You maybe get $14.
Well, an ebook is worth about $14, so you'll get a free ebook, and a couple of lawyers are going to get $300 million. Kids, stop playing the Powerball. Go get a law degree. Get a crappy law degree and file class action lawsuits because that's where the money is. Lisa, I expect you're going to get this one. Brock Osweiler.
He just signed today with the Houston Texans.
Yes, he did.
So now you are left in Denver. No Peyton Manning because he announced on Monday that he's retiring. And it was debatable whether Brock Osweiler was going to stay with him or was they going to offer enough money. Now, the bigger question is, are they going to be a contender for next year?
No, not by a long shot. $72 million over 4 years for Brock Osweiler.
Well deserved.
Yeah. I mean, he showed tremendous amount of competence under center when he was filling in for Peyton Manning this past fall. Houston really just needed a solid quarterback to bring everything together down there. So they instantly become a contender in their division. And Denver is pretty much going to have to try their luck at free agency in the draft now. And this is not a strong year for quarterbacks.
Their defense is good, but yeah. Come on.
And the other thing I would say that this brings into question now is they dropped the franchise tag on Von Miller. It is fairly well known that the New England Patriots would like to have the services of Von Miller.
So, imagine.
Along with several other teams. So if Von Miller is not happy with this development, which I would imagine he's not, because he's not old by any stretch, but he's not a young, you know, he's not a 23, 24-year-old guy who's going to sit back and be like, you know what? I can wait a few years for this team to come together again.
And I'm sure he would like another ring.
I'm sure he would like another ring, too. So any Super Bowl contender now probably has a decent shot at taking a run at Von Miller. Now, under the rules of franchising a player, any team that makes an offer, the Denver Broncos have the opportunity to match that offer. So somebody is going to have to way overpay to get Von Miller in. That probably takes the Patriots out of contention, but there may be some other teams out there. New York Jets.
That really need a...
Taking a look at you, New York Giants. Mm-hmm. Got to get something going on defense. I expect we're going to see somebody make a move.
Who did Incognito's back, too? He's with the Jets?
Oh, yeah. Every basket case is with the...
the Bills.
The Bills. The Bills. Every basket case is heading up to the Bills to go party with the Ryan brothers. That's going to be a fun season.
All right, so it's me. I have one and you have a half.
Yes.
Club for Growth Action.
Club for Growth Action is one of the political super PACs. Club for Growth Action. I forget. These are the ones that spent $38 million trying to take down Donald Trump, correct? I forget who it is that's behind this organization, but they are linked to one of the candidates, either Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio?
Rubio.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just in the past week, we've had so many developments of different groups opposing Trump.
Yeah.
And in light of the, you know, newest primary is going to be happening soon in Florida. This group just in, actually, Illinois. This group is paying $2 million.
You don't pronounce the S in Illinois, by the way. I'm just going to bring that up.
$2 million.
You're not from Indiana.
In advertising.
Yeah.
To, you know, smear campaign.
And Donald Trump's, by the way, has spent about $20 million nationwide so far.
There's billboards in Florida and, yeah.
Yeah, it's, it was during the press conference last night, I guess James Carville was in the audience. I think Carville or Rove or one of those guys was in the audience because Donald Trump brought this up. He was like, yo, the rules say that your candidates can't talk to your super PAC. And he's like, Carville, will you agree with me on this? It happens. It happens because people are human.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, the more these guys spend, this is what the elites don't get about this. The more you spend, the more you attack Donald Trump, the more you prove his point that you are just a bunch of corrupt, ineffectual ninnies desperately trying to cling to power. You are, as he would say, losers and lightweights and mental midgets. General.
Losers.
All right, let's try this one. Dos Equis.
Well, I know that's a beer.
I am pitching you softballs tonight, my friend. I am pitching you softballs.
That is a Mexican beer, yes. And I feel, are they like changing the recipe?
Nope.
Or
I don't know if there was a recipe. They just throw some stuff in a bottle and they're like, Dos Equis.
It's a Mexican beer. That's all I got.
Dos Equis, after 9 years, is saying goodbye to the world's most interesting man. This was a big story this morning. Jonathan Goldsmith, who has played the world's most interesting man for the last 9 years, is 77 years old, and Dos Equis is going to replace him with a younger, world's most interesting man, citing the shifting tastes of millennials. Millennials apparently don't like the old guy.
They don't like
like the old guy, so he's out, and they're going to get somebody else.
Bye, Grandpa.
Yeah. Maybe it's like the way they keep changing
it's
Colonel Sanders.
Be a toddler just holding Dos Equis.
Yeah.
It's cool here in Mexico. We're fine.
The most interesting toddler in the world.
All right. Do I get anything for that half?
No, because that was... Everybody knows Dos Equis is a beer. It's what are they doing in the news today?
All right, Kraft. With a K.
It's actually my What's Hot. So I'm going to have to go find a new What's Hot now. Kraft changed the recipe of Kraft macaroni and cheese, and nobody noticed.
Shocking.
Yes. They
to
basically,
be less, yeah.
Yeah, they got rid of all of the preservatives that were in it, except the salt. By the way, you can get 72% of your U.S. daily allowance of salt from a single serving of Kraft mac and cheese. But they got rid of all the other chemicals in it. It is still processed food. I mean, it's food does not do what that stuff does. I am surprised that there hasn't been a riot in Canada, because... Kraft, they call it Kraft dinner up there, and that's the national food. Like, they eat, I was looking this.
I honestly can't remember the last time I had macaroni and cheese. Kraft.
I'm not a fan of it.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. It's great if, you know, you're drunk and
Canadians purchase
make it for you.
Canadians purchase 1.7 million of the 7 million boxes of Kraft macaroni and cheese sold globally each week.
Really?
1.7 million Kraft dinners.
What is the share that Americans take?
Every night. Much. We're up there, but Canada beats us. Because it was actually, the product is made in Quebec. And it uses, so it's a Canadian product, and the Canadians are crazy for it. Like, Bare Naked Ladies had a line about it in If I Had $1 Million. South Park has made fun of it on
Terrence and Phillip. A staple.
Yeah.
Especially for my generation growing up, it was such a popular product. And I guess you could say with consumer changes and influences, it's not the healthiest option.
No.
So they're going to Whole Foods and getting the, you know, non-colored.
Well, the Canadians aren't. They're still in love with
this
stuff.
No, Americans.
Yeah, the Canadians buy like a third of the weekly production almost. But
you know when companies always say, we're getting healthier, we're taking out all this, and you're like, it's going to taste bad.
Yeah.
Nobody noticed.
And this is the thing. It annoys me that this was an above-the-fold story, because this is really just free advertising for the Kraft people. But it's pretty interesting.
They sent out their own press release.
Yeah. They sent out the press release and everybody picked it up. But it's pretty interesting that you change the formula of your product, you don't tell anybody, and nobody notices. Which means they did their job well, and they did their job right. So congrats to the Kraft people. I still don't like mac and cheese, but I think there are a lot of happy Canadians.
Are you just a Kraft mac and cheese?
I don't like mac and cheese, period.
Really?
Yeah.
You like pasta. You like cheese.
Yes.
Just not...
Oh. Can I tell you something? My mother...
Melted together.
My mother, bless her soul, may she rest in peace, was a master chef, but her mac and cheese was appalling. Beastly. Awful. It put me off mac and... Every time mac and cheese came out for dinner, I was like, oh my God, I just don't want to eat it all.
Really?
Yeah.
I just don't understand how you can screw it up.
There was Velveeta involved. It was not...
See, that's your problem.
It was not good.
I'm going to get you some really good gourmet mac and cheese.
To this day, I cannot eat Velveeta either.
It's the color.
Ugh.
All right. You're up.
Oh, it's me. Let's see. Olive oil. This is a tougher one, but you like the food. You should know this.
Is this still the controversy that's going on in Italy?
No.
The olive oil isn't actually olive oil?
That was the fake extra virgin olive oil.
Yeah.
No, but that may be a factor in this.
Mislabeling?
Nope.
What is it?
Due to drought and disease wrecking Europe's olive crop, Olive oil prices have gone up 20% so far this year amid a global shortage. Spain, which produces 40% of the world's olive oil, had a hot and dry summer, the worst harvest in 20 years.
No kidding.
And so this is part of it.
Really good olive oil is expensive.
This is olive oil, period. Mm-hmm. So on top of that, you got the Gombas over there in Italy making the fake extra virgin olive oil. And 60 Minutes had the thing about the guys that taste the olive oil all day long to make sure it is extra virgin and not some knockoff crap. So I think that's playing a role in this too, because the Italian authorities are seizing as much fake extra virgin olive oil as they possibly can. Hopefully they're not destroying it, because they
might need it.
Yeah, you throw it back on the market. It's like crap olive oil right now, and make some money.
You go into any store that has like an extensive imported area, there's so many different olive oils. And don't get me wrong, of course, extra virgin olive oil is the most utilized, but there's so many that are very similar in taste. So if it gets too expensive, switch over.
Yeah, but people like olive oil. Mm-hmm. That's good stuff. Comes in handy. I like it when they put it on the table and you get the bread that you can dip in it, you know.
So what is that? You got two. And I had one?
Yes. Mm. Who's up next?
All right, last one. Knife.
Knife. Well, that's really, really vague.
No, it's not. Biggest story about a knife in the past few days.
Biggest story about a knife in the past few days.
It was all over the news on Friday.
In Japan, it can be used like the hand? No, that was the other way around. Biggest story about a knife. Oh!
CNN did not drop
OJ.
It. Yes.
They found a knife when they were knocking down his house.
Yes.
Gave it to a cop. The cop took it home.
For a long time.
And has had it sit in his house and finally decided he wanted to get it framed.
In 98, we're talking about.
Yeah. One thing that they did say about
the... He took his sweet, sweet time.
One thing they did say about the knife is that they don't think it was used in the murders, because the size of the blade would not have been big enough to cause the types of wounds that Nicole Brown Simpson and...
Here's my thing. I think this story came out at a perfect time, considering that there is a series on FX right now based on the murder trials of O.J. Simpson.
Which, by the way, is a really, good series
that
you should be watching.
We discussed that.
Awesome episode last night. Sarah Paulson... Paulson is knocking it out of the park as Marcia Clark.
She's so good. She's
fantastic. And it's just everything that they're doing with it is great. So yeah, that was exceptionally good timing for them on that one.
All right, last one.
All right,
come back.
Let me give you, this was a big one today. Mustard gas.
Mustard gas. Ooh, I know this. It was the first time that it's been used since World War One. I'm trying to think of the country. It's definitely one of the eyes. Iran. Iran was using this, and it created it.
It's correct, and we know this how?
Drones.
No.
No.
You're close. I'm giving you the point anyway, because you got it. but we'll give you extra credit if you know how we know this.
Hmm. I feel like somebody was over there and saw this.
Yes.
John Kerry.
But no. It's who that somebody was.
No, John Kerry's name. I don't know. But I got the... Yeah, it got the most of it. I mean, mustard gas, they were saying, and this is crazy, we haven't...
He was on line one, he's not anymore.
We haven't seen it since World War One. Yeah. So, but who discovered it? What was happening?
That was reported to U.S. intelligence by a captured ISIS member who has some sort of connection to their chemical weapons program.
Wait, is that the scientist?
We don't know who this guy is or what his connection is.
Mm-hmm.
They've deliberately held that back. But we've been targeting suspected chemical weapons sites with our drones because of this report. That they had mustard gas, they had used mustard gas, they were planning on using mustard gas against U.S. forces. So that obviously dialed things up to 11 a little bit.
Hmm. Got that one.
We had a caller, we lost a caller because... It wasn't me. What? I can't. It's not showing up here.
Oh dear.
So we have a caller in the other room.
Yeah, he was complaining about your use of the word
Well, that's fine. You can tell him to call back, and we'll pick up in here, and then he can complain live on the air. So, hopefully we'll...
Just don't we'll, swear at us.
We'll stick around for a second and get that back. I can't say Goomba anymore. Out of all of the things that I say on this radio show.
Your love for Trump, you get you get
all the things I say on this radio show. I mean, thank God I didn't bring up J.K. Rowling and the Skinwalkers.
I mean, you can call me that. It doesn't
thank God I didn't call up J.K. bring up J.K. Rowling and the Skinwalkers. Otherwise, we'd have the Native Americans all calling in.
Mm-hmm.
But you're appropriating our culture. And it's like...
It's like every time in the summer you tell me there's two things that I love, tomatoes and the heat.
Yeah.
And I'm not offended.
Which is, no, I mean, it's not. It's meant with the deepest affection because I adore the Italians. Things that we would not have without them. Great wine, great food.
Two things you and I both love.
Ferraris.
Two things that both of us can't afford.
Yeah. Pellegrino. A lot of things. There's a lot of, I mean. It's...
Out of all the things you come up with.
What, San Pellegrino?
Pellegrino.
It's nice water. It's nice water. Moretti beer. I love Moretti.
You know what? Let's leave it at the food and wine. It's great.
You know what? One of my absolute favorite things created by the Italians, prosciutto. Oh my God, I cannot get enough of the prosciutto.
Mm-hmm.
Keep the prosciutto coming. and there's, I'm happy to report that in the last couple of years, we've been getting really good prosciutto. Like the Sotterio stuff is showing up in supermarkets all over the place now.
Mm-hmm.
And even better, like imported brands are coming in. So,
well, there's more of a demand for it mainstream. So now you don't have to go to your Savonore's, you know, in North End and go get that. You can get really, but still, there's nothing compared to going to the North End and going to the meat market and seeing giant slabs of meat hanging up and you can get it fresh sliced. Do we have the caller that is not happy?
Because I'm the host. So.
But yeah, many, many things other than. Prosciutto.
All I can say is that
we have maybe a caller that doesn't want to talk about our use of words. But it's so funny you say that because we say many, many bad things. And
all right, caller, you're on the air.
Oh, he does want to
go. Yes, he does want to go on, and we will preserve anonymity. So I'm being called on the carpet here. I'll take it. Go ahead.
Hang up.
Oh, is he?
I'm not particularly pleased. I'm not pleased to hear that on the radio. I don't think that that's the right terminology. I think you have to be more sensitive, especially when you have a multicultural city that's listening. I don't think it's appropriate.
The point that I will make is, first of all, it's not meant in a derogatory way, and obviously some people are going to take it that way, and I understand that. But, you know, in the case of what's going on in Italy, this is organized crime that is counterfeiting olive oil.
Okay. So I mean, it's okay to say a derogatory term, a term that I think is derogatory when speaking about gangsters?
This is what the term the gangsters use to refer to each other. So, I mean,
to say that the entire olive oil industry is run by organized crime?
That's not the story. The story, which we've covered in depth, is that organized crime has been counterfeiting olive oil in Italy. 60 Minutes ran a report on this a couple weeks back, maybe a month back. They have an entire police division in Rome that is tasting olive oil all day long to figure out where the fake olive oil is coming from.
Well, I think that it would be better to use a term like organized crime instead of a derogatory term to paint all the Italians, because I'm sure that there are plenty of Italians that aren't in organized crime that work in the olive oil industry. That's all.
Oh yeah, no, I mean I'm not saying everybody in the olive oil industry is an organized crime. This is a very, very specific problem with organized crime, like messing up the olive oil industry. And if it wasn't organized crime involved in this, I wouldn't use that. You're right. I could use the phrase gangsters. I could say mobsters. I could say Cosa Nostra, any one of those things. And, you know, I'll apologize to you if that's the way that it came off, because it was not the intent at all.
All right. And I appreciate that. I appreciate the apology. But, you know, I'm sure that there are plenty of people that are still offended, you know?
Yep. Well, again, my apologies. We'll try and do better in the future, and I hope you keep listening.
Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you.
I hope we didn't lose more Facebook friends.
Why? Have we lost some?
No, I'm kidding.
617-627-3800 is the telephone number, 617-627-3800. We're chucking the migrant discussion for this week because they're going to make the final decision on that next week. We can put it on hold. And the Commonwealth of Massachusetts just released a big report on weed that is full of all kinds of nonsense that we need to diagnose. So we're going to get into that right after this. Here's a little bit more George Martin. And this is one of the most basic, simple Beatles songs that is out there that is transformed through George Martin's artistry into an absolute masterpiece. This is WMFO Medford.
Is there anybody going to listen to my story, all about the girl who came to stay? She's the kind of girl you want so much it makes you sorry, still you don't regret a single day. Ah, girl. So hard to leave her, she will turn to me and start to cry. And she promises the earth to me, and I believe her. After all this time, I don't know why. Ah, girl, girl, girl. She's the kind of girl who puts you down when friends are there, you feel a fool. When you say she's looking good, she acts as if it's understood she's cool.
This is the sound of salmonella gyrating on your undercooked chicken. And it looks like mom might be taking it out a little early. Don't let salmonella get funky with your chicken. On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So use a thermometer to cook each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Hey, how you doing? This is Joe Walsh. I'm speaking on behalf of Rad. It's okay to rock and roll, right? But don't drive home drunk. If you're drunk, call me up. I have a limo. I'll come and get you.
Public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Boys on an Indiana night.
WMFO Medford 91.5. This is The Big Picture. I'm Lisa Nichols, and this is Derek Gary. We're an all-inclusive show.
Yes.
We love everybody. Well, voters, me, you, Derek, in November, on the ballot, we will face the question to legalize what this song is representing, the Mary Jane, marijuana.
And I have boldly predicted.
In the Commonwealth.
I have boldly predicted on these very airwaves that we will have legalized marijuana in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts before they ever open all the dispensaries that they were supposed to open when we had medical marijuana passed. Was that 3 years ago?
No, this is, so four years ago.
4 years ago
we signed off on medical marijuana. 8 years ago, we signed off on approving decriminalization of small amounts of the substance.
You get a ticket instead of a trip to jail and nobody pays the tickets.
All right. Back in the talks of all this, you know, legalization of marijuana. We're going to see it in November. Special Senate committee comes out, of course.
Jason Lewis, nice work,
with
son.
With an official report. Now, this group recently traveled to Colorado back in January to look at how legal cannabis industry works.
Based on the results of their report, you can imagine them rolling into downtown Denver on a large tour bus, getting out, clutching their pearls, and gasping in horror at the people using marijuana around them.
Mm-hmm. And just open and free market. Now, the official report that came out yesterday on Tuesday, it really sounded like just a skeptical note of legalization. Like, they never took a stance on it. They never said yes or never said no about it. But proved that, we're trying to prove how bad it could be.
They did say
how bad it could be.
They took a stance against it. And you know how I know they took a stance against it? They said, what about the children? What about the children is the rallying cry of people who oppose things. What about the children?
Yeah, we should have asked Deval Patrick, what about the children when all the babies were dying?
Yeah.
No, we actually don't care about children here in the Commonwealth. Now, yesterday, simultaneously, you had an op-ed in the Boston Globe. This is where, you know, Mayor Marty Walsh, Governor Charlie Baker came out, Mara Healey came out and said, absolutely not. This is a bad idea. I think one of the quotes was, what evidence shows us is that marijuana is not safe.
What evidence shows us that marijuana is not safe?
Are you just basing this off of personal opinion? Now,
by the way, I just repeated her sentence and gave it an entirely different meaning. She says, what evidence shows us is marijuana is not safe. Mara Healey, what evidence shows us marijuana is not safe? See, because if I just change the inflection on that, it is a much more powerful and factual statement.
This is true. Now, Senate President Stan Rosenberg came out and said, quote, controversial issue for sure, but we hope that the results of the work done to date and any that will follow in the help form a debate and give people the information they need to understand what we would be into in Massachusetts. So he makes it sound a little scary.
Full disclosure, by the way, and I say this just so that there is no misunderstanding about any of my positions on this. I do represent and work with a company that sells medical marijuana in the state of Nevada. I have no stake whatsoever in what happens around here, but as far as Nevada is concerned, yes, I do work with a company that's in the business.
Now, Derek, if you're wondering what was in that report, now the report recommends, number one, and this is a conversation that we've had multiple times, and this is the one that I have the biggest problem with. Report recommends heavily taxing marijuana. So if it is legalized, the report calls for an excise tax of between 5 and 15% collected from growers, a marijuana-specific sales tax of 10% to 20%, and a local option sales tax of up to 5%. That's just the start.
Now,
one of the things we've talked about, though, in saying, I understand how much money has been brought into Colorado.
Right.
We're talking annually, hundreds of millions of dollars.
And
it's great. It's helping.
Their total tax rate, by the way, is 28%, if my memory serves me correctly. So 28.
You're looking at 25 to 30 in all of the District Columbia areas where it also is.
Right.
The whole reason, not the whole reason, but a large reason of legalizing it is to take the illegal drugs off the street.
No.
So getting rid of the black market.
That's where you're wrong.
How?
The whole reason to legalize it is to get the tax dollars. That's it. That's the only reason to legalize
it. But they want you to make it seem like they want to protect us. They want to protect the public safety. So we're going to get all the illegal, get the black market away.
They believe...
Come on. You very well know that I know it's all about the money. But government wants you to come out and say that we're protecting everybody.
They believe in their ignorance that given a choice between a dark alley marijuana buy and a nice well-lit store with really good strains plus a 40% premium on the price, that law-abiding citizens will choose the nice store.
That's what I call delusion.
What... And why I say this is in their ignorance is because poor people can't afford that and poor people want pot. So what you have in Colorado right now is a thriving black market. Questions about whether or not legitimate growing operations are diverting some of their supply to the black market.
Mm-hmm.
And drugs still coming in from south of the border and floating up to Colorado to serve that black market.
You have not created... Yeah.
Because what they did in Colorado... Exists. Was they legalized marijuana for the rich.
They taxed it far too high.
The ballot initiative, by the way, I don't think you covered this. The ballot initiative does call for taxation of marijuana, but here's what they want. Now, you spelled it out. The state wanted, some of this is just insane. 20% sales tax, 15% excise tax. By the way, that excise tax is on the growers.
Mm-hmm.
Not at point of sale. That's on the growers.
And this is just a bare minimum. They're throwing out numbers. They don't actually have something in plan.
So
this is just talk.
That's going to crank up your wholesale price. That gets passed along downstream to consumers. So 15% excise tax on the growers, 20% sales tax, and then the local option tax of 5%. So 40%, 12% higher than Colorado, which we already know doesn't work, which we already have all of the police evidence doesn't work because the taxes are too high. Here's what the law that's going to be on the ballot in November says. 6.25% sales tax, which is a little bit higher than... Did we ever go back down to 5% or are we still at 6.25% on everything?
6.25%.
So we're going to apply our sales tax to marijuana, 6.25% sales tax. We give a 3.75% excise tax and then a municipal option up to 2%. 12% sales tax. You know what? I don't think you're going to have a black market at 12%.
That's how it should be done.
You're absolutely going to have a black market at 40%.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
well,
that's the number one problem of what's going wrong in Denver.
Yeah.
And why you're seeing that in Colorado.
28%. 12% below the worst case scenario mm-hmm. of what the Commonwealth of Massachusetts wants to see.
Because it's still very readily available on the street. Why are you going... Because... What, now it's legal? So you're going to completely, throw out your dealer so you can pay a premium, pay $40 more an ounce?
Now, the ballot initiative would...
So you can get it in daylight in the store?
The ballot initiative would also allow each household to grow up to 12 plants for personal use. So you could have 12 plants in your house. I could have 12 plants in my house. The state wants to ban that immediately.
And that was another thing that was in the report is saying... Absolutely no homegrown.
People will be selling the stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to be selling the stuff because you're charging 40%.
Mm-hmm.
So under...
They said ban on home growing or at least a temporary prohibition. And it also recommends aggregate limits on how much marijuana could be grown in the state each year. So now we have limits on how much we're growing. I mean, these people are paying ridiculous amounts of taxes to actually grow it. Now you're limiting on how much profit they can bring in.
I want you to
What do they think is going to turn it?
I want you to think of this not as a drug issue, not as a public safety issue, not even as a political issue. I want you, Lisa, to think of this as a business issue. Look at what the state has proposed from a business perspective and tell me what you think of that.
They say you can sell your product here, but you can't grow it. We're gonna regulate it. We're basically regulating everything that you're doing with your business.
We're gonna tell you what you can sell. We're gonna demand a 40% take, and we're gonna take down anybody who tries to set up an alternative market. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what this report says. Is you want to sell marijuana in the state? We get 40%. If you're a business person, that's a great deal for the person getting the 40%. For everybody else,
it's highway robbery.
For the people of the Commonwealth, for the people trying to run these businesses, that is a terrible deal.
Essentially, what you're going to happen, nobody's going to want to open it. It's too expensive.
That is a non-starter of a deal. You may as well not bother. You may as well just continue having the black market because, again, you are legalizing marijuana for the rich. And that's not the point here. The point here is, can we legalize marijuana, which I know everybody freaks out. Oh, my God. We're going to have stoners walking around all over the place. Did you go down to Boston Common today? Did you go to any beach today? Did you walk around Medford Square today? Or Harvard Square? Or Powder Square? Or Teal Square? There were stoned people all over the state because it's 70 degrees out. What do? Put on some flip-flops, toke up, go enjoy the sun. That's what today was, folks. Do you want to spend another 40% to do that? Do you think these poor college kids have an extra 40%?
They're going to be going into the stores downtown because now it's legal and they can do that.
Yeah.
And that's the right thing a law-abiding citizen would do. No, come on, give me a break.
You know what?
But the thing is, you know, you're talking about a business and how much regulation the state would have over it. Do we get to a point where you put all these restrictions on a company, you can now grow this much? Well, then, a couple years later, we change it again. We're going to bump that back down. And we need more of an increase. Look at what they're doing with the gas tax. They continually raise that.
Right. You know what this does?
Taxachusetts is actual real term. It's a thing.
You know what this does? This moves the black market over the border into southern New Hampshire, and you're going to have a little weed belt along the border where you can go up and get your weed without paying the 40% tax. And then if New Hampshire is really smart, which they tend to be when it comes to things like this, they'll pass their own recreational marijuana law.
And they'll have
a 10% tax. Mm-hmm. And everybody from Massachusetts will go up to New Hampshire to buy their weed. And everyone in Massachusetts will sit around and say, why aren't we getting any weed revenue? Let's raise the weed tax again. Let's raise the smoker's tax again. Raise the liquor tax again. And then all the business owners are sitting around saying, I don't have any business because the taxes are too high. These guys over the border are selling it for a third of the price.
And then we completely get away from what the initial purpose of this was.
How do they continually fail to learn?
But it's amazing to me that Baker's not on board. Of course, you know, Attorney General, whatever. But Marty Walsh, Governor Baker, you're understanding that you're going to be bringing money into the state. You can do both things. By getting drugs off of the street and making money.
It creates jobs. It creates industry.
Derek, don't be silly. We don't want to do that here.
No, we don't. We want to get our 40% tax.
The less significant parts of... And I mean, they're pretty stupid in this report. No celebrity endorsements. They want to ban those with brand sponsorships.
Yeah, you can do that. You can do that. You can ban the candy.
I love this one. The report estimated 185,000 Massachusetts residents used marijuana last year. Almost half of them are youth and young adults, because we always had to bring up that. The same message came out of Colorado when this passed. The rate of usership was going up whether it was legal or not.
Yeah.
That's why I hate these statistics, because they're somewhat skewed.
Yeah. Well, the old folks aren't smoking the dope, and that's fine. It's the young people that smoke the dope.
Just because you think it's legalized, every 17, 18-year-old is going to be smoking. No, they're already doing that.
Yeah.
More people are using drugs because it's more common.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
Yeah. And it has been, by the way, for a generation now. So, you know, don't be surprised by that.
Yeah.
I can see banning the celebrities. I can see banning the candies. You know, those are rules that states get to pass when they legalize. Why should Massachusetts legalize fireworks? So they can control what gets set off in the state and get the tax revenue. So that people aren't going up to New Hampshire, buying stuff that'll kill you, and bringing it into our state. That's why one of three states that has not legalized fireworks, ladies and gentlemen. I get on this bandwagon every spring. Here's the time. This state is so backward thinking. And we're supposed to be the center of enlightenment and education and healthcare. And
we're stupid. You have a perfect situation where, as I said, you can take drugs off of the street and make money for the Commonwealth. I would love for somebody to call and prove me wrong on that statement.
I want to know how you send...
There's a right way to do this, and we're moving into the wrong way.
I want to know how you send a congressional committee from the Commonwealth of Massachusetts to Colorado, and they come back... not realizing that the 28% tax out there is keeping the black market alive. So they propose a higher tax. The only thing I can think of is they must have been smoking a lot of product. 617-627-3800. When we come back, what's hot? Our favorite things from the past week. And that's a thing that happened. The strangest stories from the past week right here on WMFO Medford. One last George Martin. This is one of his masterful collaborations with John Lennon here on WMFO. Not that one. I am here as you are here.
Okay, gang. So, chances are there'll never be an emergency ever, ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But, just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
So, who's gonna do what? Anyone? Yeah, okay, perfect. We'll figure it out as we go. So, who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Ah, good point. So, we all know who to call if something happens then, right?
I'd have to call Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
And I will try to call all of you, but Greg doesn't have a cell phone. Dad's phone will have a dead battery.
No doubt.
And Julie will be on the phone with Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
WMFO Medford 91.5. This is The Big Picture, and it's time for What's Hot, our favorite news story from this week. If any of our listeners did not get enough Deflategate over the past...
Oh, boy, more Deflategate?
This is a really, really fun story.
I've been hanging out by the internet waiting for more.
Not coming from, you know, the evil Roger Goodell. This is Ben Goodell. Have you heard of him? He is a 12-year-old that goes to school in Lynn, St. Papias.
Is this like a Star Wars thing where he's going to kill Roger Goodell?
No. Well, he did a science project, and it was aimed to debunking the Deflategate controversy. Now, first he tested the football in a humid environment. Then he subjected the ball to the cold, placed it in the snow, wind, multiple conditions. He did this from November all the way up until the science fair that was last week. As a result, 95% of the time the results were clear. The football's pressure dropped 2 PSIs
Uh-oh.
Each time.
Uh-oh.
Now, this kid says that the way that he did it was the weather conditions affect the PSI of a football, and he did it right because he used consistency. So he didn't do it just a few times. He did it over a course of a few months, then took all of those averages.
Did it cost $12 million?
It did not.
Because Roger Goodell has $12 million that says the Patriots deflated some footballs, and he ain't listening to some kid.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he might have only spent about like $4 on the magic markers and poster board for the science fair, but not $12
million. Did he have an NFL-approved pressure gauge?
You need those?
And a backup pressure gauge.
Yeah.
Did he take into account the fact that the pressure gauge might work differently in the cold? There's a huge variable right there.
Yeah, well, this kid is awesome. His message to the other Goodell, Roger, give Tom Brady a break.
Nice.
He's his hero.
I like this kid.
So he might have proven it right.
I hope somebody at the Patriots organization throws that kid some tickets to opening day.
Yeah.
Because that'd be a very, very nice gesture for that one. What do we call the Harry Potter fans? Are they Potterheads?
Yeah.
Is that, I think that's it. If you are one,
I hate Harry Potter.
Oh, come on. You hate everything that's good. You hate Star Wars. You hate Harry Potter. I don't think you like the Beatles.
I love the Beatles. Well,
okay, so we're 1-for-3 with Lisa. Thank God. It's good. At least you like craft beer, so you're trendy, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, for the millions of people around the world who like Harry Potter, who aren't Lisa, J.K. Rowling has some new stories that are up on Pottermore.com as part of a series called A History of Magic in America. And this is brand new writing from J.K. Rowling. This is in support of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, which is going to be coming out theaters in the near future. They've already caught a lot of heat from the Native Americans for talking about skinwalkers and sort of lumping all Native Americans into one group. Like, shit is some bad stuff here, but you know what? It's fantasy. It's not meant to
be. We're always going to offend somebody, Derek.
It's not meant to be the real world, you know? And it's like, yes, Native Americans have a point, but it's not meant to be the real world. So you can go read that. But today's entry, which is up on the homepage of Pottermore.com, you can read it for free. Doesn't cost you anything to go in there and look at all this stuff. It talks about Salem and the witch trials. So we'll get her take on that and how it fits into the whole wizarding world of Harry Potter.
I like the witches.
Plus, if you want to get a little more involved in it, the enhanced versions of all the Harry Potter books are there. It's a fun site. If you are a Harry Potter fan and you haven't checked it out, highly recommended. But for now, if you want an introduction, go check out the brand new free stories. Free from J.K. Rowling, Pottermore.com.
And as we end the show every week, it's that something that happened, the craziest news story. A naked female motorist led New Mexico cops on a 100-mile-per-hour chase Saturday morning that ended when she crashed the vehicle and then sought to run away from officers. After receiving 911 calls about a woman driving recklessly on Interstate 25 in Santa Fe, New Mexico, cops spotted Barbara Arenalo, 51, behind the wheel of a Toyota RAV4 that was careening across the road. As she drove, Arenalo was throwing items from her car, which topped 100 miles an hour, before it clipped a truck and crashed, according to the police report. Somehow, Arenalo escaped from the vehicle unhurt and unburdened by clothes. A police vehicle dashboard cam recorded footage showing the naked Arenalo running through traffic while repeatedly yelling, "Jehovah." The suspect was subsequently taken to the ground by police, who was covered in a blue tarp provided by a passing motorist. According to investigators, she explained that she had, quote, used heroin, took a bunch of pills, and drank whiskey before she started driving. As for her lack of garments, the suspect said she was hot. Arenalo was charged with drunk driving, battery to an officer, reckless driving, and fleeing from police. She was released in the Santa Fe lockup late Monday after posting bond.
Is she the one that was dancing naked on top of the semi? Or is that someone else?
That
so there was another one. This is one of several that happened this week.
This lady took a lot of drugs, got naked in her car because she's hot, just running around.
Happens.
Gotta be careful.
I might take off all my clothes. It's so hot in this station. Georgia. It was a bad day for Army veteran Jacob Worthington, but it's giving everyone else a smile. On March 2nd, the 25-year-old Worthington visited an Athens Waffle House while dressed as a clown, which is unusual enough. But he then compounded that by sitting at the counter and smoking methamphetamine. Worthington then got up and locked himself in the bathroom, at which point Waffle House employees called police. A search of Worthington and a duffel bag he carried turned up a knife, marijuana, LSD, mushrooms, a small bag of white powder, and a digital scale. We are left to assume that the clown costume was his work attire and that Athens residents are upset that the next time they want to get high, they can't just go see the clown.
I read that one and it's pretty,
smoking meth at the Waffle House.
You know what?
In a clown outfit.
Activities and, you know, their choice of outfit at Waffle House typically doesn't shock me.
When you have the digital scale and a quantity of marijuana, that is intent to distribute. So I've got to believe that there are people walking around in Athens going, "Oh yeah, you need some stuff? Go see the clown." What
he
clown?
He hangs out at the Waffle House.
You'll know. Just go downtown, find the clown, you'll get what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. What clown? You'll know.
But with all the makeup, can you tell that he's on meth and he's all cracked out?
I don't know. You know, we've all had a hard day at the office. We just want to sit down, get some pancakes, have a cup of coffee, smoke a little meth. Really?
Every day.
I blame the Waffle House employees.
I figure that's what most clowns need.